Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Welcome to this weekend. We're going to be talking this weekend about pruning. Anybody ever seen a tree that was pruned? Raise your hand if you like. Okay, they prune it. I think they have a picture of our church, one of our churches in Florida. They trimmed it, okay? How many of y'all know that looks pretty bad? Come on, admit it. That looks horrible. I pulled up to that campus, and I'm like, what in the world happened? But then after a while, the next picture shows when they pruned it, trimmed it back, it started growing. Give it up for trimming and pruning. So today I want to talk to you at all campuses about God pruning you. Now, whether you're a Christ follower or not, you've all been through seasons where you felt like, man, people are cutting me like crazy. Anybody ever surprised all of a sudden? It's like, man, she left me, he left me, the job left me. Even your dog's like, I'm sitting on Aunt Mildred's lap, all right? We got these moments where the enemy trims us, and then we've got these, and that's kind of usually evil, and then we got moments where God trims us. Now, God works all things together for our good, because he loves us. You don't think it's good when he's trimming you, but it all works out in the end. It makes more sense. In fact, when we have pictures of and videos of Ashton when we were trying to cut her hair as a little girl, and she's doing this, and how many of y'all know it's not a good idea to do this while you're getting your hair cut? Come on, raise your hands, people. Okay, so how many of y'all remember one of your children cut their own hair? How many of you ever cut your own hair? Raise your hand. How many, like me as an adult, and you've cut your own hair and realized, wow, I need to just go ahead and pay them people. All right, but so you need to be still while you're being trimmed. Well, God has moments to where he's trimming you. He's cutting off some things so that more grace and fruit shall abound to you in all good and new areas, always. I was always surprised when God was going to do something new in my life and take me to a new level, who got to go and who didn't get to go. People that I really wanted to go didn't get to go oftentimes because everybody who's with you might not qualify for the new level that God has called you to. See, God's taking you to areas where the oxygen is thinner, where the air is a little different, and you cannot, you know, soar with eagles and hang with turkeys. Look at your neighbor and say, hopefully he's not talking about you. Look back at him and say, you're the turkey. All right, so we got to realize that as, you know, I was listening to Tyler Perry a couple days ago talk, and we've, you know, been very kind. Tyler's been very kind to us and our family and a blessing. And Tyler was telling a story how that God revealed to him that a lot of people are like rocket boosters on a rocket. And I love this analogy. How that the rocket takes off, but then as it gets up to a certain level, those rocket boosters, those jet engines fall off. And they fall in the ocean. Thank God. There's never one landed in my trailer park. How about you, right? So in other words, as it goes up higher, things that once were a blessing had to be cut off. See, when God starts doing something in your life in 2019 and 2020, you got to allow him to take you to this elevation. And now when you go to this elevation, the people who were with you, they could breathe at this level, but they can't breathe at this level. And sometimes God trims those people off your life. And it doesn't mean that they're bad people. They're good people. Their season in your life was over. Their part in your play was over. And God wanted to take you to a new level. And he wanted to trim you like the tree. So new growth could appear. Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
New growth. Everybody shout new growth.
New growth.
Now, there's this passage in the Bible, and I want you to go there with me. And it's St. John, the 15th chapter. In all campuses, I want you to check this out. St. John 15. It says here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, I love this in the Amplified, it says he repeatedly prunes it. Everybody shout, he repeatedly prunes it. And what this means is that God is speaking. This is red. If you read the red, this is Jesus speaking. If you're new to this church thing, if you get a Bible that has the red letter edition, when it's red, that's when Jesus is speaking. And it's red, and he said, my Father is the vine dresser, and everything that's not beneficial in me, he cuts it off. Which is really weird to have Jesus say that, because we think of Jesus being the spotless Son of God, and he certainly was. But the Bible says that Jesus was tempted at all points like we are, yet without sin. And I never like to think about Jesus being tempted to lie. How about you? But it says he was. I never like Jesus, think about Jesus being tempted to look at a hot girl. I don't like that Jesus that way. I like my Jesus to be cool and a baby. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now, right? I'm going Talladega Nights on you there, man. Okay, so I like my baby Jesus. I like baby Jesus. I like mine in a tuxedo because my Jesus likes a party, right? Well, we don't like to think of Jesus that way, but the fact is he was tempted. But he withstood the temptation because he allowed God to trim off those things that he was tempted with. And then, of course, he was the only one that could ever do that. How many of y'all were tempted very early and you screwed up very young? Raise your hand. Half the church is lying and going to hell. Let's try that again, all right? How many, nobody taught you to lie, but you figured it out on your own? I'm going to vote for you people, I'm telling you, okay? So nobody told you to lie about the cookies. Nobody told you to lie about cutting your own hair. Nobody told you. You just learned it. It's in you. We have to learn the other behavior. So he says, hey, the ones that the Lord loves, put it on the screen again. It says he repeatedly prunes. Shout that again. He what? He repeatedly prunes so that more fruit, even richer fruit, remember that tree? Even finer fruit, fuller fruit can be produced. He repeatedly prunes. Now, I hate that word repeatedly because if you're new to this church thing, you probably thought, man, I got saved, born again, I received Jesus, I prayed that prayer, Jesus is Lord of my life, and man, whoo, thank God that's over. Then here's how it works. God will come up and go, hey, there's one other thing I'd like to talk to you about. And then you're like, oh, thank God I got rid of that. And then he's going to talk to you like, you know, don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with girls that do, stuff like that. Come on, somebody help me right now. I made that part up, especially for you smoking, chewing, running with girls that do. I think they're on the left side. I'm not going to look at all right now. But I'm not focusing on a behavior modification to impress God. I'm focusing on a relationship with Jesus so he begins to trim you so those things that you don't like about you, if you like to chew, that's fine. Chew all you want. Some of you looking like you don't know what it is. Just watch a NASCAR. Come on, somebody will say skull on the side of there. You'll see a bunch of guys chewing. It doesn't mean that they're not going to heaven. It just means they're going to heaven with no teeth. Somebody help me right now, okay? So you can go to hell and smoke. Somebody told me that. It's like, can I go to hell and smoke? I'm like, yeah, you just get there before all of us. Let us know what it's like. Okay? So we're not a church that focuses on what you're not. We focus on what he is. But Jesus said, hey, he repeatedly prunes us. He's going to keep talking to you about stuff. And it sounds like this. Have you ever heard something like this? You're being kind of nasty. Go back and tell him you're sorry. Raise your hand. Have you ever heard this? Slow down. You shouldn't be breaking the law like that. Anybody ever heard this? You're talking too much. You're gossiping now. Anybody ever heard this? You're acting like your mom. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so I'll break that habit before Mother's Day, I can tell you right now. But the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit doesn't do. The Holy Spirit does not come after us with a chainsaw. And you're like, oh my gosh. The Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's why we're not supposed to judge one another, because God might be dealing with someone about this and he didn't deal with you at all about that. But for you to actually, you know, take this big old stick that's in your eye and try to find the speck in your brother's eye, that's what Jesus doesn't want us to do. Now, again, these are all just things that will help you grow as a believer and help you enjoy your life. It said that he repeatedly prunes. So here's my point. God's not going to tell you everything that's wrong with you the first day you receive Jesus. And thank God, because you would be depressed. It's the same thing that happened with Nicole. I thought she liked me when I got married. She liked the bone structure of what could be someday. She's like, don't ever wear that jacket again. You're getting your hair cut. You can't wear shorts with, hunting boots. It looks crazy. And I thought I was cool. She just had so much stuff to change, but she never told me. She just was like, I will always love you. Oh my goodness, look at you. I love you so much. And it wasn't, I love you just the way you are. It was more like, I'm going to change you to the man that I need you to be. Okay? So the Holy Spirit's a lot like that. He'll start just improving you, and it'll be an improvement for you, and you'll enjoy it. But he's going to be repeatedly pruning you. Now, this is why church attendance is so important. Now, the word theist means that you are a believer in Christ. Okay? So if you're a theist, or if you're not a theist, you're just like, I don't know, I'm an agnostic. lot of people tell me, hey, pray for my friend, pray for my husband. I hear this. What do you call it when you're you don't believe in God?
Atheist.
Yeah, there you go. They say, so I hear this all the time. Please pray for my husband. He told me he's an atheist. I'm like, he's totally not an atheist. He's just sick of you asking him to go to church, right? He's like, don't ask me anymore. I'm an atheist. Some of you believe that, some of you don't. I'm sure there are people who really are atheists. But the fact is, there really is a God, and God has the ability, if we walk in love with people and we're nice to people, that the Holy Spirit, the Bible said, the love of God will draw men to repentance. So never worry about a person being an atheist, because God can reveal himself to people as a light. He can pick them up and throw them across the room. You don't worry about God's job. Come on, give God praise today, all campuses. You worry about your job. You allow God to deal with you, and he will repeatedly prune you. Raise your hand if this is making sense to you. All right, verse 4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you. Bear fruit producing evidence of your faith unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. No one remains in me and I in him who bears much fruit. Otherwise, apart from me, he will be cut off from vital union, and you can do nothing without me. If anyone does remain in me, he's thrown out like a broken off branch and withers up and dies, and they throw them in the fire. But the Bible says that we must be united to him. Now, as we really got to, for the sake of time, run down this path really fast, because I only have 17 minutes and 18 seconds to finish this. And now it's actually 17 minutes and 13 seconds. Now it's 10 seconds. I got to go. Come on, people, help me. Pay attention quick. A lot of times what God deals with me about is my pride. I got a lot of pride. I'm the first person I look for in a picture. I'm the first one to reserve the right to make you delete the picture if I wasn't sucking it in. Anybody ever thought you looked good? You know, you looked in the mirror, you sucked it in, you're like, look great. Somebody caught you on a side profile shot. Anybody should help me here? You're like, delete that. Okay. And then I'm the person who'll say, delete it off your deleted stuff, because I know you. You're going to go back and try, okay? Pride. Now, the Bible said the Lord hates pride. And it isn't that God hates pride because, like, he doesn't like you to have pride. It's that God hates pride because he knows it destroys relationships. It keeps people from liking you, because sometimes we can have so much pride that we don't admit when we're wrong. And admitting when you're wrong is a big deal, especially if you're married or want to stay married. Or want to get married. Some of y'all are like, I don't want to stay married. Well, how do I get this pride stuff? What do I do? I didn't mean it. Yes, I did. So God's saying, hey, I want to cut off pride. Says sometimes I will find myself also, besides pride, I like credit. I like to get the credit. I like if the kids are doing something cool, like they surprised Nicole last night and showed up in Connecticut last night. If you follow her on Instagram, you saw that. And they surprised her. They put it on Instagram and gave me the credit because they knew that I would want the credit. Because it was my idea to send them up there. Nobody else had this idea. The kids didn't think of this. I paid for it. I said, go up there, do this, do that, do the other. In fact, this is going to be a great day off, Austin, for you and your woman. In fact, you know what? Why don't you just go ahead and when you get on the flight to go to New York and then get on the train, why don't you bring a rose to Morgan and just look at her and say, will you accept this rose? Come on, Bachelor fans, Bachelor Nation, where are you? I mean, there could be a fantasy suite for you, but he wouldn't listen to me. He didn't do it. But they knew I would love credit. So they Instagrammed about it. They FaceTimed me when they got together so they could know, Papa did it. I'm like, yeah, I did. Sure did. Look at me. But I'm telling you, no, Ashton's never gotten me the world's greatest dad shirt. Austin never got me the world's greatest. If I want one of those, I'm going to have to go to Walmart and buy it myself. But sometimes men, though, sometimes are more prone to be that way. Think about it. Men love credit. How many times you drive down the road and there's a big sign that says, men at work? You never saw a sign next to the highway that says, women at work? Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. So we got to understand that some male versus female, there's a lot of differences between a guy and a girl. So you got to let the Lord repeatedly prune you and get rid of pride. There's a story in the Bible about a guy named Naaman. Everybody shout Naaman.
Naaman,
and Naaman was the commander of this great Israel army, and they went in and took over cities. And when he went over to plunder this town, they obviously took all the money and the resources, and they took a lot of the people, and they made these people back then their maids and slaves and so on. And so Naaman had this girl that worked in the house, and she was the maid. And every day she would see that Naaman obviously had leprosy really, really bad, and he was bleeding really bad. And by the way, leprosy in the Bible oftentimes is a form of sin or God dealing with you. And so she would always go to, you know, Naaman's wife and say, man, I wish that Naaman would go to my church. I wish that Naaman would go to my pastor. I wish that we lived in the town close to where they took me from, because there's a guy there. And now we're going to the David Crank translation. And he goes to Faith Church, and he believes in healing, and they'll lay hands on you, and you can be healed. He said, no. But eventually, the Bible says that parts of his body started actually rotting off. How many of y'all know when there's blood on the sheets in the morning and like half of your ear's gone, you're thinking, I will go to a crazy church. I will accept Jesus. I mean, here I am, Lord. So he says, what do I got to do? And so she said, hey, we're going to make this appointment. So they go down to see Elisha. Now, this guy's got loads of money. And so the Bible says there's chariot after chariot after chariot rolling up on Elijah's house. When they come to Elijah's house, all of a sudden he hears obviously all the pounding of the horses and the rolling of the wheels. And then he sends, the man of God, Elijah, sends out Gehazi, his associate, to answer the door. And here stands at the door this great man named Naaman. And he said, hey, I'm here because this girl said that I could get with Elijah and I could be healed. I have all this gold. I have all this stuff. And he said, hang on a minute, I'll be right back. He goes and talks to Elijah. Read this story in Kings. And he comes back and Elijah said, I'm not going to talk to him. The Lord has impressed me to tell him that he just needs to go down here to basically, if you're in St. Louis, you'll know this, the River de Pere. I want you to go, if you're somewhere else in the world, like a septic lagoon and dump yourself in 7 times. And he got mad. Why? Because his pride. God was trying to trim him. God was just, he wasn't taking the chainsaw after him. He was just trimming him just a little bit so the pride would go so that he could be healed. But also he wanted to prove to this guy that you can't buy God's favor. You can't buy God's love. All the money in the world will not help you. At the end of your life, you just call upon Jesus and he helps you right where you are. Whatever mess you're in, whatever relationship you're in. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. So he says, what do you mean he won't come out here and see me? He said, well, I hate to tell you this, but he basically told you to go jump in the lake and dip 7 times. See, he gets furious. Pride gets mad. Pride gets mad quick. If you want to really see somebody angry, find a prideful person and hurt their pride. I don't want to be totally alone in this sermon, so I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever fallen and you kind of did hurt yourself, but you looked up to see who saw it first? Come on, all campuses, raise your hand. I mean, like, my leg's bleeding, I broke my arm, but who saw this? Right? Who saw this? Because I had to, my pride said, check with me first. I've hurt myself pretty bad and got up and was hurting really bad. People say, you okay? I'm like, I'm good. On the inside. I'm good. You're not good. Some of you do that in your own life. People at church see you and they go, how you doing? You go, I'm good. You're not good. That's why you need to be in an iConnect. They're starting right now. An iConnect session is a place to where you can get around other people. Let's park there for a second. You can get around people because you're the smartest person at the table. You're at the wrong table. And you're only as sick as your secret. So most of the time, people never get around intimate groups of people, hanging out around a bonfire, going bowling, quilting, netting, I don't know what all you do, ride bikes, jog, eat. There's groups for everything in this church. In fact, if we don't have a group that you like, that's meaning God's wanting you to start that group. So I don't want you to do it alone. And I don't want you to do it with the old people that you used to do it with, because those old people that you used to do it with kept you on this level. And now that God is raising you up with those rocket boosters, he might be dropping those people off and attaching new people onto you to release you to that next altitude and level. Somebody ought to help me right now. This is exactly what happened with Naaman. If Naaman had not had that maid in the house, he wouldn't have the information, the intel, to get him to the next level. So now he gets in his chariot, storms off because his pride's hurt. And there's that little maid sitting next to him, and she's like, do I talk to him or do I not talk to him? I need to say something, but he is mad. I tell you, I can't believe he didn't come out here like that. Does he know who I am? Do you know who I am? I'm Naaman, the captain of the army. Did you see all these limos? I got 14 Escalades rolling on 22s out here, and this joker living in this modular won't come talk to me and heal me? You got to be kidding me. Anybody ever seen people like this? So now she says, that's why you want people in your group that'll ask you the hard questions. She said, I have a question, sir. If he would have asked you to do something hard, would you have done it? Like $100,000 worth of gold? One of these chariots, all the chains of garments that you brought? I mean, you brought spoils from all your stuff. If he would ask for anything, you would have done it. All he's asking you to do is to go dunk 7 times in this lake. In other words, she was the one that encouraged him to get his dunks in a row. Go there and do the 7 dunks at a time. So he says, all right, I'll do it. So they take him down there. He one time comes up, sewage on his head. Second time comes up, more sewage on his head. Third time, fourth time, he's looking at that woman like, this is the 5th time. If this doesn't work, you don't even want to know what's going to happen here. And so now he goes down the 6th time, and as he's coming up for the 7th time, miraculously, the Bible said that leprosy was gone, and his skin was that of a new baby. He was completely restored, made whole, because our God, somebody ought to shout, our man. Our God rewards obedience. Our God trims us. Our God repeatedly prunes us so that more fruit can abound. So let's focus on the person for a minute. God used that woman to prune him. Let's talk to men for a minute. God's going to use a woman to prune you. I don't want that woman telling me what to do. I'll tell you right now. Telling me what to do. Nobody told my daddy what to do. Well, your daddy's dead. Your daddy didn't have a good marriage. She's pruning you. Just accept it. I accepted it in my world. I just realized that I'm a minority in my house. It's all women. My wife's a woman. My daughter's a woman. Both of our dogs are women. Come on, somebody. Most of our staff is women. I'm fighting for my rights and freedom. So I got to realize, hang on a minute, everybody, even the GPS in my car is an English woman. You have made a wrong turn. You stupid idiot. Turn around. In 1 mile, I will reroute you. Made another wrong move. I will reroute you. Made another wrong move. I will reroute you. That's the cool thing about God, is he is like a GPS. He'll keep loving you, speaking to you, and you can get where you're supposed to go from anywhere if you will just listen to the people in your life. Somebody ought to shout amen and allow God, the Holy Spirit, to prune you. The problem is, he loves to use people. Man. Pride, people. If we're more like Jesus, we got 5 minutes and 1 second left. There was a guy in Jesus' gang, a small group. Dude's name's Peter. Anybody remember Peter? Peter walked on water. Peter was mad when the dude came up to like take Jesus away. So he cut the guy's ear off. How many of y'all know that didn't help when like you cut the security guard's ear off as he's trying to handcuff you? Jesus is like, man, what you doing, dude? Now you made him mad. Jesus is like, if you give me that ear, I'll put it back on for you. So, do you ever feel like sometimes you're like Peter? You talk a little too much. I'm preaching to a convent here. I feel like you all need backwards collars. Are anybody in here not a priest? Come on, somebody help me right now. So, God, the Holy Spirit, will allow people to carve on you. And then if we're more like Jesus, we know that Jesus knew that Peter was going to betray him. Can you imagine that? You're having your last supper. You sit down and you got Peter over here who's like, God, I'll never deny you. I'll be strong for you. I'm going to be strong all the way to the end. I'll catch a grenade for you. I'll put my hand on a blade for you. Come on, somebody. I love you. I'm strong for you. And Jesus is like, you don't need to be strong for me. You need to be strong in me. And you're in the flesh right now. But I love you. And you'll figure it out. And now Jesus looks over here and he's got Judas. He knows this dude's been stealing like crazy. And he's going to betray him too. Yet he sits at the meal and acts like everything's okay. But not acting like we act when things aren't okay, but we try to act like they're okay. Jesus acts like it's okay when it's not okay. But the reason why he's doing it is because he's God and he knows that it will be okay in time. So if we're like Jesus, check this out, then we need to go ahead and say, I'm not going to prejudge what I think people are going to do. Because I know this about you. You probably are not Jesus, so you probably don't know for a fact they're going to be a hater. Okay. So let's talk, as we close, the difference between haters, and I'm going to make up a word, critiquers. Hashtag haters, hashtag critiquers. Haters are people who hate you. They drink haterade about you while they're looking at you on social media. I hate them. I don't want them to do good. And then there's the fake like haters that pretend they are hating you, but they are the ones who say, hey, I'm just checking up on you, see how you're doing. You know good and well they know you're not doing good, but they want to find out more information from you so they can go tell other people that you're not doing good. So don't worry about those people. Just that's why God invented, through the power of the Holy Spirit, an Apple caller ID. So when people leave your life, I figured this out, don't let them leave your phone, because someday you'll get a call and you won't recognize it. But if you look and it says, oh, look here, it's a gossip gal, whatever her name is, you need to know. Don't answer that, okay? But you do have the real haters. And haters, you can't fix those. But whatever you do, listen to me, don't you dare throw the critiquers in the box with the haters. Because critiquers can make you better. Haters can make you bitter. But God wants to let people grind on you so it will ground you. Somebody ought to shout amen. So you can be that all God called you to be. So allow critiquers to come in and go, ah, this is how we do it. This is how we do it. I saw my daughter a minute ago. There she is. She's driving, and she's doing a fabulous job. Unbelievable job. And I let her drive on the parking lot for years. She had a big parking lot, so she's like 13, and she's driving. So she's pretty good. But still, like, me and Nicole fight over a shotgun. But not to sit in the front where we're critiquing her. We fight to sit in the back. Come on, I'm no fool. I've seen the damage that's done by an airbag hitting a man in the face. Come on, somebody help me. This is all I got. I don't have the money to do anything with. But I sit in the back because I don't want to be her critiquer, because I want her to like me. So Nicole's like, nah, that's actually a yellow light to go left. Well, that moron's going right now. She learned all this bad language from her grandmother. She's Baptist. What's she doing? She says, no. That guy's not a moron. He had the right. You had yellow, which means you yield. Was Nicole a hater or a critiquer? Come on, I asked you a question. Come on, was she a hater or a critiquer? She was a critiquer because she loves her. Allow people that God sends in your life to critique you. Now, here's what some people do. Oh, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to let them grind on me. Paul said, no, I've been going through hell, but I'm pressing on. I know I'm going through trials, but I'm pressing on. I know I've been through this job loss. I know I'm through this divorce. But somebody right now will say, hey, I know that you want me to say that it was all her fault. Because they say marriage is grand, but divorce is 100 grand. Have you heard that? Okay, so it might not be all her. Now, we know a lot of it was her, but we know some of it had to be you. So they say that there are two sides of the story, and some say three. Your side, her side, and the right side. So we need to say, hang on a minute. I need to look right now and go, hey, this looks like a major setback in my life. But I'm begging you, I'm not going to let pride keep me from saying these words that will open up a new door of opportunity. I was wrong. So say, when you say that, people go, oh. Now, the real tell you, my staff will tell you, I'm the quickest one in the room to say I'm wrong. I make up stuff that I was wrong about, so the staff has a culture of being wrong. I could do the dumbest thing in the world. I go, I remember when I did that. You'd be choking to death on a pickle. I go, I hate it when I do that. I do that all the time. I want to make everybody feel comfortable, and that's the culture I want to build. So I want you to say to your mate, to your spouse, to your friends, to the cop, I was wrong. I'm wrong. Sorry. It automatically allows God to start working favor in you and for you. But when you stay strong for yourself, you're like Peter. I'm strong. I'm not wrong. No, just go say, man, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I rarely get a ticket, but I get pulled over often. But the first thing I do when I get a ticket or pulled over, I always throw my hands out the window because I don't want them to be afraid, because most of my cars have dark tinted window because Nicole likes to roll dirty like that. And put my hands out. Guy comes up. He's scared. And then I said, man, I'm so sorry. I know I was speeding. We were talking. Just having a good time. And immediately he's like, and they always go back typically and give me a warning. Now on Sunday when Chris gets pulled over, we get pulled over two or three times a year. And the cop always comes up to my side, sees the mic, and in St. Louis they always say, oh my gosh, Pastor David, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Go do what the Lord wants you to do. Thank God for those people. Come on, somebody, amen. But I can't wear this mic every day. Come on, somebody. I mean, if I just wear it every day. So as I wrap this up, so you're comfortable. Actually, I'm making allowances for your pride, but that's okay. Everybody, put your head down and your eyes closed. And here and at all campuses, I want you to raise your hand on a couple things. Number one, if you say, Pastor David, I had a great time tonight, but I do feel like I moved the needle a little bit in some areas that I need to move that needle. Raise your hand if that's you. I want to see it all over the room. You can put it down. Now I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sins, and I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I know that you died for me, and I want to live for you. But I also know that now that I've accepted you, that I need to allow you to repeatedly prune me, and sometimes it might be uncomfortable. It might hurt my pride. And you might use people to do that pruning. And I won't make it hard on them. I won't shoot the messenger. I want to be healed of the leprosy. I don't want to be strong for the Lord. I want to be strong in the Lord. I'm now forgiven. And I'm going to find out more information about small groups, about getting around the right people to get the right answer. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give it up for all those people.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant. We're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.